Welcome to the Thrive Vineyard Church Sermon of the Week. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Molly Kiefer. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit thrivevineyard.com.
You got the text. Kevin was supposed to be up here this morning, but he's sick, and it's my fault. I gave it to him. I had it earlier in the week, and then bad timing, I know. So I'm jumping in, so he will be coming next week with the regularly scheduled message on how you can help your friends, how you can help bring them to Jesus, make an internal impact in their lives. So that's what we're doing. So sorry if you are coming looking for that message. But I am excited because I feel like God had just highlighted something that is timely for us as a church, because you guys know what's happening this week. We have been prepping for quite a while for this election week. And I've just noticed that the chatter out in the public airways is overwhelmingly negative these days, isn't it? There is a lot of, there's a lot of fear, there's a lot of anxiety. People are confused. There's a lot of criticism going around. And I get it. I get it. We are not sure what's going to happen. We're not sure how we feel about what's going to happen. And when we tend to have negative feelings, we tend to broadcast our feelings, don't we? We tend to broadcast what's going on inside. But if I look around just our culture and the criticism and the anger and the fear that's circulating, I just wanted to take a second today and stop and bring you an antidote to all of the negativity that seems to be just permeating our airwaves today around us. And this antidote, it reminded me of when I was younger and I was outside playing and I would fall and scratch my knee or my elbow. I would come crying to mom, and she would always go up to the medicine cabinet and bring down this magical elixir. At least that's what I thought it was. It was in this little brown dropper bottle, you know, with a rubbery squeezy top. And she would take the scratched knee. And I think I have a picture of, you guys remember what this is like. And she would just do a couple of droplets of this bright orange antidote, that's all I knew what it was, on my wound. And I didn't know what she was doing or why she was doing it, but I always just wanted her to blow on it. Did anyone else? Just blow on it. Your breath will solve everything, right? I don't know why. Blow on that thing. But what was happening, she just knew better, that these little drops would get in there and they would kill the bacteria and it would stimulate healing on this open wound. Well, I want to hand you the dropper bottle today and just give you an antidote, something that you can do to put over the negative, the criticism, the open wound of our world around us today. Just a few drops in the open wound to stimulate healing in our world today. And here's what I'm asking, that instead of repeating back the negativity and instead of echoing back, repeating back from what we hear kind of circulating around our culture, I would actually like to ask you to begin speaking what I see as God speaking over the world from the beginning of time, from creation, with God, the words that he was speaking, the one who spoke into the chaos, that we would this week, that we would start sounding like the one in whose image we bear. And I wanted to start right here. Let me give you these words, these phrases. We're going to look at what God was talking about since the very beginning, through time, through history. And we're going to be talking about those things this week. So I want to start with an overview of this thing that I'm asking you to be talking about. And we're just going to start. We're going to see it in the very beginning, from the very first moments of creation. And so we're going to start here in Genesis 1. Genesis 1, verse 27, 28. Let's see what God was speaking. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. So here is God's first interaction with mankind. And the very first thing that we see, the very first thing that we hear is a blessing. Do we see that God created mankind and he blessed them and said, go be fruitful and multiply. The very first sound to hit humanity's ears, even as they are drying, they're still wet, they're drying from all this creating. The very first sound that entered humanity was a blessing from the Creator. I mean, I can't imagine a more beautiful sound, but this was it from the beginning, from those first moments. They were waking up to life, and what they were waking up to was actually a blessing from the one who just made them. It's like one of those great mornings when you wake up to the smell of bacon and cinnamon rolls and coffee. Like, that's great, right? But could you imagine waking up to the sound of the one who made you out of dirt, who breathed his breath in you, and it's a blessing that he's putting into your life? Now, when I thought about what happened in those first few moments, I always thought the first thing was that we were given an assignment, that we were given something to do, a destiny. Go take, you know, authority. Go have dominion. No. They went out in that assignment covered in the blessing of the Creator, didn't they? They went out to go do head to toe, and the very first thing was that blessing from God himself. It's like, I made you. I finally made you. You're finally here. And the first thing that pours out of God is a blessing. Here, let me put this blessing on you. Now you're here, and you can hold the blessing that I wanted you to hold. And that's what we see from the very first moments. And man takes this blessing that should have been enough for the rest of their life, living in this perfect union with God in this garden. He takes a blessing, and instead of letting that deeply satisfy everything in him, we know what happens, that rebellion enters the world, doesn't it? And hits our planet, that through disobedience, where man was like, you know what, that blessing of God, actually, I'm going to be the source of good, not just this blessing that God has just given me. I'm going to be the source of good. And sin enters the world, and we know what happens. It derails perfection. And sin spreads like a wildfire, doesn't it, across humanity that we see through the beginning pages of Genesis. And the only way to extinguish this wildfire is for a downpour from heaven, right? And we hit Genesis 9, and we have Noah. And what happens in Genesis 9 is God is bringing Noah out of the ark. And this is a brand new chapter. It's like a fresh start where God is like, now we're starting again. And look and see what happens in Genesis 9:1. This is what happens as Noah's coming out of the ark. Look at this. Then God blessed Noah and his sons, saying to them, be fruitful and increase in number and fill the earth. Wow, there it is again with this fresh start. It's like, no, God really meant that, didn't he, with Adam and Eve in Genesis 1. He's doing it all the same thing. It's the same plan. It's still what he is doing with Noah and the descendants that will come from Noah. And then we hit this new chapter where God then takes Abraham, this one man, and his plan is to make a whole nation that will know him and that will represent him on the earth. And look at what he does when he is first interacting and sending out Abraham. Look at what he does in Genesis 12:2. He says this. God says, I will make you into a great nation, Abraham, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And look at this. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Do you see the pattern? Like, God is doing what he did from the beginning, the original plan. Every new chapter starts the same. It starts off, it's kicked off, it's initiated with God's blessing at it again. This is still what God was saying. I still want this for the earth. And now I'm going to take this one man, Abraham, and through him, what will happen? All the families of the earth will be blessed. Do you see that this is still in God's heart? This is still his plan. He still sees a future. Even though sin came in and tried to sidetrack this thing, no. He still sees a future. He's still reworking his plan that the blessing of Creator God, blessing of the King of the universe, will come through people to cover all the earth. That's what he's after. That's what he was doing then. And he was always figuring out another way. Oh no, I will get my blessing on this earth, on humanity, on the ones that I made and love. I will restore the spread of the blessing of God across creation. Okay, so the next big season after this man Abraham, he becomes the nation Israel that God intended, the special people to carry his blessing on the earth. God's setting up this way of how he wants to interact with his people, his nation, Israel, how the people are going to live and do life with him. And he tells Moses, the leader, he's like, listen, I want you to take a whole group of people, these priests, and I have a job for these priests. And so he tells Aaron, who's in charge of them, and he says this. He wants them to do this one job. And we see this in Numbers 6. The Lord says to Moses, tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you are to bless the Israelites. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. So they will put, the priests, this is their job, they will put my name on the Israelites and I will bless them. I will bless them. This whole group of people, they had this job, this assignment. Listen, I want you to put these words on them. You put these words on them and I will follow up. And I love how definitive this is. And I will bless them. You just speak the words. You just speak the words over them and I will follow up with everything that I have and I will bring the blessing that I desire for them. And that was just the start, guys. When I started looking into this, did you know that blessing occurs 400 times in the Old Testament? 400 times. Like, this is God again and again in action. It's blessing, blessing after blessing. This was his intention. And this was a major theme across the Old Testament, right? Like, this is a major theme that's happening here. And so then let's hit this, the new era. Like, what happens in the New Testament when Jesus hits the planet? Well, we know right from the very beginning in Luke 1, when an angel even announces to Mary what's going to happen, he tells her this, you are blessed among women. You're blessed. You actually are housing the physical blessing of God in your body. Blessing has come to the earth in a whole new way in the form of Jesus. You're carrying him. He is now near. Blessing has come with him. And Jesus starts his ministry, and you know what his first sermon is about? His very first message in Matthew 5? Yes, the whole thing is right. This is where he starts his very first message. Let's highlight this principle, right? He's like, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when you mourn, for you'll be comforted. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are the merciful, and on and on. And what's Jesus doing? Jesus is taking this pivotal moment, this very first teaching, and he's like, listen, people, you need to know how to live in the blessing of God on this earth. Why? Because blessing is what God is doing, right? And he's like, it's okay in this circumstance and in that circumstance. I want you to see that no matter what, there is still a blessing from God on you. Even when you're weak, even when you're hungry, even when you're in that season of mourning or that difficulty, he's trying to teach them. I want you to see, no matter what, you know what your identity is? You are a blessed people. Amen. You are a blessed people. So this is where Jesus starts teaching. It's amazing. And not only did Jesus have to teach on blessing because this was God's intention, Jesus practiced blessing. Remember when he gathers his VIPs, the children, to him? He puts his hands on them and he blesses them. That's right. When he's training his the 72 that are going to come, his apprentices that are going to come after him, he sends them out and he teaches them about how to carry a blessing. In Luke 10, he sends them out and he's like, listen, when you go, say this, say God's peace on this house. Pray a blessing of God's peace on the house. And if those who live there are peaceful, the blessing will stand. If not, the blessing will return to you. He's teaching about blessing because blessing is something that they're going to be active in. It's a part of what it means to be in the kingdom. And then lastly, this is amazing to me. Right before Jesus ascends, when he's finished his mission on the earth, the last words, the last action that he is doing, guess what it is? Ah, spoiler alert, it's blessing. This is amazing. Look at Luke 24:50. Look at this. When he had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them while he was blessing them. He's in the action of blessing them. He left them and was taken up to heaven. It's like that, like, last minute, like, blessing, right? And then he's, right? It's like just getting it all in, like the last few moments of his life. This is what he's doing. It's amazing. It's amazing. Blessing, blessing, blessing. And I see this, and I see that it's the first words of Creator God. It's the last breath of Jesus on this earth. It's the beginning. It's the middle. It's the end. In every part of the story, we see God's intention to bless humanity. As a people, we are surrounded by blessing. The scripture is just crammed full of this concept of blessing. Blessing is our history. Blessing is our mission. Blessing is our heritage. Blessing is our assignment. And I look at this and I think, why have I had such a casual approach to blessing? You know, like, it's like if blessing was like the 2-hour feature film in the scripture, it's like a TikTok reel in my life, you know, like in comparison. It's like something we maybe do before we eat. We throw it out in a sneeze. You guys, I'm not making this up. First service, literally when I got to this point, someone like sneezed right before I said it. I was like, okay, the Holy Spirit's on this, right? We just throw this like blessings to you, right? Like I do it. It's like greetings and salutations. I don't know what to say. Just fill it in with blessing, right? Like, do you do this too? Like, why do we have such a casual approach to blessing when I see this? Well, I want to tell two stories today. I want to dig a little bit more on what we might be missing with this concept of blessing when we see a God whose intentions are to bless from page one to the end of the scripture. So I want to start with two stories. The first one I want to tell is an old story, and it's a story of a stolen blessing. And this happens in Genesis 27, and this is the end of one of the patriarchs, Isaac's life. And he is getting ready to do what was custom to do, and that is to give your blessing, the father's blessing, to the firstborn son. And he has twins, right? He has two twin boys, and they couldn't be more different. And one is the younger son is favored by the mom, and the older son is favored by the dad. And it's such a strange story, but the mom knows that this blessing is coming, and so she kind of schemes with the younger twin. And she's like, here's your dad's favorite dinner. We're going to dress you up. You're going to put on hairy skin so you seem just like your brother, because the dad's eyesight is failing, so he can be deceived. He can be tricked. And so the younger son, Jacob, goes in to Isaac and brings the food and is ready for the blessing. And Isaac does what is custom to do, what he's supposed to do. And he blesses the younger son instead of the older son. He's tricked and it works. And Esau, then the older brother, is coming in after his hunt with his food. And he comes into the dad and he's like, hey, dad, I'm ready. Where's my blessing? And Isaac's response is this in Genesis 27:33. Isaac trembled violently and said, who was it then that hunted game and brought it to me? I ate it just before you came, and I blessed him, and indeed he shall be blessed. And indeed he shall be blessed. And Esau is like, he cries bitterly, and he's like, bless me too. Like, come on, dad, like, bless me. Don't you have anything left for me? Like, there's got to be something for me. And Isaac says, listen, your brother came deceitfully, and he took your blessing. He took your blessing. This is so interesting to me. And I read this and I'm like, he will be blessed. Like, this is a head scratcher. Like, yet he's just deceived you and you're saying, nope, that thing's going to stand. He will be blessed. Like, come on, Isaac, do a take back, right? Like, just take back the words, do a do over. Like, come on, they're just words. Can you just like cancel them out, right? Like, don't you think along these lines? Like, this is what I'm thinking. Like, just cancel out the first blessing and give him something else. Give him a greater blessing, right? But Isaac was like, no, he took it and he will be blessed. How can Isaac be so sure? How can he be so sure that he spoke this blessing and this is going to happen? He will be blessed. Well, we get a little clue in Hebrews 11. I love looking back at Hebrews 11. It's the chapter about faith, but we get to see God's perspective from eternity on some things that happened in the Old Testament. And here's what it says in Hebrews 11:20. It says this about that moment. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau regarding the things to come. Really simple sentence, but this is what's happening. There's something more happening here. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau regarding the things to come. So this is what I see. I see that God is saying that act of blessing, that thing that happened there, that exchange, it was actually an act of faith. It was an act of faith. And we go, I know, but what? I don't get it. He was tricked. Yeah, I know. But what happened was Isaac believed and understood the way God operated. And he understood that the covenant promises of God stood no matter what, that they were solid words to stand on. He believed that God was a God of blessing, and the one son who received that blessing, he would be blessed. Those things would happen. They were the things that would come no matter what. It was a sure thing that this is how blessing in these times worked. This is how God worked through blessing. They shaped destinies. They moved systems. They changed things. They were a powerful force. So when we see this, we see that words weren't actually just like nice things to say. That they weren't. The blessing wasn't just an encouraging word. They didn't just hold sounds or like, you know, maybe mean something to kind of encourage someone's heart for a moment. No. That they understood, that they believed. Isaac knew that he had something of God to actually give away. And he believed that part of his mission on the earth was to pass along the blessings of God from a God who blesses. It was an act of faith. He knew this is what God does. This is how God acts. That faith was involved because it was more than nice things to say. It was more than wishful thinking that this blessing would actually shape the things that were to come. It would actually shape a life. It would shape a future generation once they were given. That's amazing to me. That's amazing to me. That this was that understanding of how blessing had worked for them and what they knew of blessing. And I see that, and I just wonder, did the power of blessing, did the importance of blessing, did it die out with the patriarchs, church? Like, was that just for that chapter in that season? Isaac blessed Jacob. He blessed him regarding the things to come, and he believed that he had a great inheritance, a blessing to give away. And so I have to ask, Do we believe that? So let's look at a new story, and then we'll come back around to that question. But there's this new story. There was a book called The Grace Outpouring, Becoming a People of Blessing. Write this down. This is a great book. It's a great read. It is just such a fun story of a business owner who moved to a small Welsh hillside to run a Christian retreat center. And this center, he and his wife, they moved there. The center just existed to help people come and heal, retreat, and let God come and change their lives. But a few years into this ministry, he started getting really frustrated because he told the Lord, he's like, listen, I was made for evangelism. I was made to share my faith. I was made to be around people who don't know you yet. Tell them about you. Tell my story and see them come into this saving knowledge of you. And he's like, I'm around Christians, and yeah, God's moving on lives, but I miss this part that I was made for. And so he was kind of complaining to the Lord and went out and did his business. And later that afternoon, there was a knock on their little retreat center door. And he opened the door, and it's a couple. And they said, we were just driving by, and we just had this sense. We were just really curious what happens here. And he brought the couple in. They gave him a cup of tea, and they told them, like, you know, God shows up here, heals people because God is real. And they had a chat, and at the end of the chat, he said, hey, would you like to go tour the grounds? And the couple said, sure, we'd love that. So they took him around and showed him, you know, the stream, the sweet stream, and their favorite views over the hillside, over the community. They showed him, you know, all the different parts of the facilities. And then lastly, he stopped at the chapel. And they're in the chapel, and all of a sudden, off the top of his head, he kind of made up this new tradition. All of a sudden, he said, hey, we have a tradition around here. He said, can I just pray a prayer of blessing over you? Can I just bless you? And the couple was like, sure, why not? Sure, we had no problem with that. And so this is what he said. It's so simple. He said, I bless you in the name of Jesus to know God, to know his purposes for your life and his blessings on you and your family and the situations in your life. Super simple. Just pray the simple purpose. I bless you to know God. I just bless what God's doing in your life. That'll be a part of it. After he prayed that prayer, this couple just started to weep. They just started crying. And he said all of a sudden you could feel God's presence with them alone in the chapel. And he didn't know what to do. And so he just like backed out. He was just like, all right, God's doing something. God's got it from here. He walked out, and later the couple came back and found him, and he was able to just share the truth of Jesus before they left. Didn't think anything of it. Well, the next day, in the afternoon, there's another knock on the door. And it's another couple. And this couple was like, this was so strange. We were just driving by, but we just wanted to know what happens here. They have no faith. They had no interest in faith. They were just curious. And so he gives them a cup of tea and says, would you like a tour? They say yes. He does the tour, the stream, hillside, gets to the chapel and says, hey, we have a tradition here. Can I just pray a prayer of blessing over you? The couple's like, sure, go ahead. You can pray a prayer of blessing over me, right? Prays the same simple little prayer. And the same thing, they start weeping. And they start just like, he just realizes God is doing something. And again, walked out. Let them just, God, do what God was doing. Well, by that time, he started realizing, okay, God, now I'm putting this together. I prayed this prayer, and now you're doing this. And so he just said, okay, God, I bless what you're doing. Whatever you're doing, I want to bless that. And they just started praying into that. Well, guys, he asked God, let them keep coming. And they did. Day after day, people kept coming and just saying, I just felt like I had to drive up your driveway. And they ended up having to set up a reception area to greet people that were just passing by and wanted to see what was happening. And they realized this was happening. They asked God to bless it. And then they just saw, listen, we're seeing fruit of what happens when we speak blessing of God over people. And they said, let's not stop here. And so they turned outward and they started praying blessing over their little community. They started praying over every area, every facet of that little community's life. They started speaking blessing like the one God gave Moses, right, to give to Aaron. They started just blessing everything. They started blessing every household. They started blessing every marriage in their community. They blessed the relationships between family members. They would pray blessing on health and on wealth, but on the businesses, the work of their hands. It was a farming community, so they started praying for blessings on the herds. They were praying blessing on the grass that the herds would eat. They were just praying for blessing on the students and the schools, that hearts would be soft, that Jesus would be a safe place, that Jesus would be known among them. And they prayed this blessing, prayed for the kingdom of God just to be visible in the region. And well, as you can imagine what happened, his blessing hit the community. Soon they started seeing the fruit of like new businesses that would take off. They again, it's a farming community. In lambing season, the farmers would start seeing these sheep would have quads and triplets. And he said he would be out on a walk and a farmer would grab him and pull him. Come look at my bull. It's so unnatural. Like how big, you know? And they had a little bed and breakfast in town. And the innkeeper won Landlady of the Year for all of Great Britain. And she's out traveling. The world, you know, I mean, just amazing things are happening. And not only that, in the material world, they said a dam broke in the spiritual world. And they went from zero to seven baptisms in their little stream all of a sudden. I read the story and I think, I want to live here. I want to live there. You know, maybe not a hillside. Why not right now? Why not here, right? Nathan and Michi, like, why not? Why not here? I want to live in a blessed community where we agree with God's word, where we see Creator's intention, that his very first thing that he wanted was, how fast can I get blessing on these people that I've made? How fast can I get blessing on the earth? And I'll come up with a new plan, and I'll come up with a new one, and at every start, I'm going to do the same thing. I'm going to take this person, and I'm going to put a blessing on them that they would then multiply that blessing wherever they go across the earth. I want to live in a community like that. I want to live in a place where people have lives that are just open to the kingdom. I want to live in a place where school budgets are thriving, where people are coming to know Jesus in PE class. I want to live in a community where businesses are making money, but they're also winning souls to the kingdom, right? I want to live in a community where people aren't lonely, that they have a place where they can be known and that they can be loved and cherished. I want to live in a community that is thriving, that's alive with the possibility of the kingdom, where we begin to see things where no eye has seen, no ear has heard. We couldn't even imagine how good it would be to see that happen in our day. I want to live in a place like that. I want to live in a place when there's things that we can't control, like election seasons and who's in charge, and inflation in the headlines, where we are living a different story. We are living a story that reflects the blessing of a God who blesses, who's intended to bless, right? Who prospers us. So what if all of us, every one of us in this little church, what if we just took up our part of God's image bearers in this way? What if we just see, I see that God is a God of blessing. I know I'm made in his image. And so I'm going to step into this assignment on the earth as a blesser. That all the other assignments, those are great assignments, but they are assignments that the blessing of God would flow through them. That this number one assignment would just be the thing that was going through that. Whatever, where you're placed, what role you have, the people you're with, what areas you touch, that we carry the image of God and it just starts flowing through us to that place. Saying, yes, God, yes, your words of blessing can flow through me today, in my day, in this place that you've put me for your purposes, for your glory. I just wonder, guys, could we change the world with the power of blessing released on people around us? Could we change the world? I don't know. All kinds of people. Listen, guys, when I see Jacob's story, he was a deceiver. And when a deceiver is blessed, he goes from a Jacob to an Israel, doesn't he? Jacob means deceiver. And we know that it wasn't just a name change. It was a nature change. Israel means one who prospers, one who prevails with God. How many Jacobs in your life can you bless and see become in Israel? All over the place, right? I mean, how many are just waiting for that awakening, for the words of God for it to come out of our mouth and be like, well, they're gone. He's going to be blessed. She's going to be blessed. The situation is going to be blessed because God is a God who blesses. God is a God who blesses. And here's what I love about this idea of blessing, guys. You always have a blessing to give away. You always have a blessing to give away. On days when you don't have extra money, in those lean seasons, you know what? You still have a blessing to give away. On days when you don't have much capacity, you don't have extra time, maybe on days when you're just feeling overwhelmed, you still have a blessing to give away because you are connected to a God who blesses, who has abundance of blessing available to you. I love that idea. Nothing new has to happen in your life. You don't have to change your routine. You don't have to do anything new. You don't. You can just go ahead and access the abundant blessing of God anytime, any place, and we can stand confidently. Listen, I don't know what my vote's going to do. I don't know, but I'm going to vote anyways, right? I'm not saying that. I don't know what my vote's going to do, but I know what my blessing will do. And so that's where I'm going to go ahead and put my hope, and that's where I'm going to put my attention this week. So I'm asking us to be blessers. I'm asking us to develop a habit of blessing in our lives. Just start now to ask God, God, how do I join you in the blessing that you want to flow through my life? How do I join you as number one, head blesser? How do I join you in that mission, that blessing that you intended to do in my life? Maybe, guys, I just want you to think about how your day goes and the things that you're regularly doing. Maybe it's a part of your morning routine. As you're getting your kids dressed, you just pray a prayer of blessing on them. Maybe before a meal, maybe at the end of the day, you just pray a prayer of blessing. Maybe on your walk or your run. I run, and one of my favorite things about my run is God has put a really large water tower that says Palatine on it on my route. And every single day when I look up, there it is, and I just immediately speak a prayer of blessing over the city. It's so simple. He's like reminding me, like, this is where you live, Palatine. Did you know that Palatine means of the king's palace? Yeah. I know. So we just bless our city to know the abundance of the king and the kingdom. Anyways, so it just becomes a part of us, doesn't it? So I just want you to think about who, number one, who do you have connection with? Your kids' friends. Maybe make a new sleepover rule. You come to our house, we have a rule. We have a tradition as sleepovers. I'm going to pray a prayer of blessing on you. Guys, it can be 20 seconds. It can be 30 seconds. It doesn't have to be long or fancy. That's not what it's about. Think about who you have a connection with. Coworkers? Do you work with anyone? Do you have someone? Do you work by yourself? Oh, no, no. You work with someone? What's going on? Is that a trick question? How many of you work with someone? Okay, good. We're together on this. Do you have people in your family? You know, like maybe it's like we do this sometimes on birthdays. Blessing, right? Blessing. I loved it at worship room for a while. Mary would always end. She's like, I'm going to pray a prayer of blessing over you before you leave my house. You know, like there, it can be little things like that. Like there's just these little moments. Who do you know that is going through something difficult? Can I pray a prayer of blessing over you? Who do you have connection with? And then where or what do you have connection to? Your workplace, a school, your city, things that interest you, the arts, any of it can be a place where, again, God can take that as an arena that he's put you in specifically to carry the blessing of a blessing God into it, right? Let's just think along those lines. Think along those lines. And then all you're going to do is two simple things. Like if you're like, okay, well, how? What do I actually say? Well, take a part of the nature or the ways of God and then bless someone to know it, okay? So here's an example. I bless you to experience the peace of God. I bless you to know the generosity of God. Take a part of his nature, a part of who he is. I bless you to have a heart that is secure in the love of God. I bless the creativity of God to flow through you, right? Any of those things about God, the kindness of God, the compassion of God, the mercy of God, any of those things that we see who he is, bless someone with it. Bless them to know it, experience it, live it, multiply it, okay? And then the second way we can do it is take a part of life and ask God to bless it as you've seen him do before. I bless your business to know the multiplication and abundance of God. I bless your family to know significance and promises fulfilled. I bless the things that are important to you to satisfy you. I bless your downtime to deeply replenish your soul. I bless your marriage to be full of grace, mercy, friendship, healing. Any of those things that we've seen God do before, they're meant to be multiplied and extended through your life to reach the earth. That's the point of them. That's the point of them. And so here's my desire this week, church, that over the sound of the negativity and the criticism that are in the airwaves this week and in our day, let's be a people of hope. Let our voice carry the blessing of God in our day. Amen?
Amen.
All right. I'm excited because I know you guys are going to do this. I know you. You're going to do this. Blessing's going to spread. So you're going to stand up, and I'm going to pray a prayer of blessing over you.